Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Thank you, Jesus. How many of you are having a good 36 days of prayer and fasting? Amen. Pastor Colin and myself, that's it. Wow, brilliant. Anybody else having a good time? Anybody else seeing God do new and fresh things in your life? Because once these 36 days are over, if you're not careful, you slip back into usual lifestyles, filling time with this, that and the other and all of that. And this is a great opportunity to allow God space in your life to do some things in you so that you don't just go back to the way you were, but you live in something new with him. Is that right? So that's why we're doing these 36 days. And then we see the fruit of that in and through our lives, in other people's lives. Now, something's happened to my iPad here, and never mind. So what I want to do this morning, just speak for a bit, just do a little summary of the last few weeks. What's God been saying? What's he been doing? And then link that into now, and what he wants to say today, what he wants to do, and what he wants to release amongst us today. So it might get a little preachy here and there. Is that okay? Good. That's going to have to be all right. So God said about these 36 days that we were to set time aside to go deeper with him and with one another so that we could go further in his purposes. He's building on what he was doing last year amongst us. And as we came into the first kind of week or so, one of the things that came through clearly in the first week or two was about loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. On the first Sunday, the 8th, we had more of a flowy morning, if you can remember that, if you were here. And a number of things kind of came out, and a lot of us were at the front responding, worshipping, meeting with God during that time. And what God was speaking about, again, he started with, love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then he, at the same time, talking about a people that are willing, available in the day of his power. Then he was talking about the kind of fast that he wants us to be living, one that loosens the chains of injustice, that binds up the brokenhearted, heals those that need to be healed, that we're not fasting just for ourselves, but we're fasting, one, because we want to know God, but two, because we want to see lives transformed. So me and Jane and a couple of others, that's what we're fasting about. That's what we want to see happen. Just nudge your neighbour, say, respond a little bit, it'll be good for you. Then Pastor Colin brought a brilliant word the following week, just along the same lines, but really focusing on what does it mean to love God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. And if you were here, you remember the chairs that he had five chairs. The first one was that if we're going to love God with all our heart, mind, soul and strength, then we need to know more of who he is and how we respond to him. But he says, firstly, we need to have faith. Then we need to have faith in his grace, which was the second part. Then as we have faith in his grace, we can then live in his love. And then his love is pure. And so therefore, as we have faith in his grace and he enables us to live in his love and receive from him, then as we live in that love, it's a pure love. So therefore, we live in purity. But then that releases his power. So five things. Just turn to your neighbor and say, faith in his grace, to live in his love and in purity, so that his power is released through my life and through us as a church. Amen. So, and then what he did, he took the line of chairs and what he did, he put, what was the one in the middle? Grace. Yeah, sorry. He put a chair in the middle and then surrounding that throne of grace, which he spoke about, when we approach God, we come to his throne of grace. So as we are with him in his throne of grace, we're surrounded by faith, love, purity, and power. So we're encased in that, in our relationship with him. That's what we live in. That's what we move in. That's what we have our being in. And so when we live in that way, then God enables us then to love, because we're not living in our own love. We're living in his love by the power of his Holy Spirit. And so I think one of the things that's been coming across is over these few weeks is our need to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? We need the Holy Spirit. We want to know him and live in his power. And so that then led on to last week, which might have seemed a bit of a gear change because we didn't so much have a message. We had many little messages. And we had many people just sharing their heart and passion about the small group they're leading or some stories about what's happened in their life as being part of a small group. Why did it seem like we're changing gear? Well, we're not. God is just doing something this month. And there's three aspects, three parts to our life as a person, and there's three parts to who we are as a church. Firstly, there's the vertical. There's the relationship with God. So when God says, love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, that means starting with him, our relationship with him, how we give ourselves to him. Then the next part is how we then love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. For in John 13, Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. In the same way that I have loved you, you must love one another. And so therefore, there's got to be the outworking of this relationship with God this way. It's got to be outworked that way. And we know God's been doing that amongst us because we know God's been going deeper and he's building on what he was doing last year. And Sunday's an event. We can come as part of a gathering, a crowd, a number of people to worship, hear from God and have a coffee and stuff. But real life is shared outside of a meeting. And in smaller contexts, around tables, around food, in our homes, in our lives, in friendship and relationship. And last week really was about the vertical then being expressed in the horizontal in our life together as a people, as a community of believers. And God wants that both to be really strong and healthy this way with him and that way with each other, so that as people come amongst us and as we reach out to people, what they get added into, what they get saved into, is a body of people that are passionate about knowing Jesus, passionate about how they worship Jesus, passionate about who he is, because we're loving him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And if you hear that encounter morning where we just flowed with it, some of the meanings of heart, mind, soul, and strength were heart means the whole of your being, the very essence of who you are. It's not just this little bit that beats in here. Do I love him with all my heart? Actually, it's with the whole essence of who you are and with every breath that you have. And when it talks about mind, it talks about deep thoughts and imagination, that we love him in every way, in our thoughts and our deep thoughts, what goes on in here. Because it's not just with my mind's thoughts, it's the deep thoughts of what's going on in my life. What am I pondering over? What am I really getting? What's going on with everything in me and with our strength, everything that we have? And so there's that way, but also we want to express that same dynamic of love that way and how God downloads into us amongst one another, so that as people get added into our lives, they come across people who are passionate this way for God, but also love one another passionately in the right way. I don't mean an emotional, passionate, lovey-dovey thing, but we're passionate about championing one another, encouraging each other, wanting the best for everybody else, you know, around us, in us and amongst our lives. And we want people to get added into that. That's what last week was about. So it's all connected. And so we need to understand there's this way, there's that way, but then there's also going beyond that to our friends and family, neighbours, work colleagues, the world, people who don't know Jesus yet. Because the church always has to be on a mission. God never designed a church anywhere to be a club just for the members. Everybody who's part of a church exists for the purposes of God. And there's three aspects of that. It's to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's to love one another in the same way that he loved us. So he laid his life down for us. So we lay our lives down for each other. But then also he said that because he so loved the world, he came and gave his one and only son. He sent his one and only son. Why? Because he loved the world. So because God loved the world, that's why you and I are sitting here today. Because we've received that love. We've responded to that love. We've come into that love. We know that love. It's an amazing love. One of mercy, compassion, grace. Lets us off for stuff we just don't deserve, you know, in terms of the way he loves us. And that's what people need to encounter amongst us. That when we love one another, way, there's no judgment. There's no criticism. There's no pointing the finger. There's no blame. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. When it means that, it doesn't mean it pushes it under the carpet. What it means is I'm not going to love you based on performance. I'm going to love you based on agape, which is I love you, one, because it's a command, but not because it's a command, but because there's love in me from God, and his love compels me to want the best for you. And even though there might be stuff going on in you, there's probably stuff going on in me. And if we pick holes in each other, we're not going to get anywhere. So let's love one another anyway. And on the way, God refines, God purifies, God cleanses, God works, and God does stuff. Right, so we're on a journey together. And then we're here to really see the world transformed. So what's this week about? This week's about releasing the supernatural. This is about releasing the supernatural. Now, you might initially think miracles, but that means we're just going to have more miracles in the meeting. The supernatural is more than a few miracles in a meeting. I think much of the time our faith has been developed to believe God for things in a meeting, especially when it comes to healings and miracles, and we talk about the supernatural. Because most of the time in our experience, most of what we've seen has been in a meeting or a conference or an event or something like that. But actually, God wants us to see just as much out there in our everyday lives as when we come into a meeting. We'll come back to that, a bit more of that in a little while. How do we see the supernatural life of God released? Well, God's kingdom is supernatural. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, he says, one of the lines in there is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, God's kingdom is supernatural. Yet we live in a very natural, fallen world. You and I, we live in a natural body, but yet we have a supernatural God that on the inside of us. And that life on the inside of us is the life of the Holy Spirit. So we have the life and the power of God, a supernatural life on the inside of us right here, right now. You and I have the same power in us now that Jesus had in his life when he walked the earth and ministered and preached and taught and loved and forgave and everything that he went through on the cross. He was totally dependent on the same power that you and I have in our lives. So sitting on your chair right there, you have the same thing, the same person, the same power in you right now as Jesus had 2,000 years ago. You have the same power, the same person on the inside of you. The same person. The same one, the same God on the inside as Jesus had when he was walking on the planet. So we have this supernatural life, this supernatural kingdom on the inside of us. So if we can put it this way, we have the world here, the natural world here, and we have this supernatural kingdom called the kingdom of God. When Jesus came to earth, he brought this supernatural kingdom to this natural fallen world. And he lived in the life and the power of the kingdom all the way through his childhood into his manhood, and then through his ministry, but he brought the kingdom that was out there somewhere down to earth. And he lived a kingdom life constantly to show, what is it like to know the Father? What is the kingdom of God like that he wants to give you, and you have as well, so that you can live in the fullness of everything that God has for you in relationship with him? Because it's all about relationship with God. And in relationship with God, then his purposes flow in and through our lives. So we have this supernatural life that is on the inside of us. This supernatural life is the Holy Spirit. So how do we see this supernatural power that is at work in us, that is at work in our lives, that is at work all over the world? How do we see that released into a fallen world? Well, a couple of weeks ago when Pastor Colin was speaking, those five chairs, what was the first chair? Faith. Firstly, we need to believe, one, what we have on the inside of us. Because it's faith that releases God's life and power through our lives. When we don't believe, we don't act. When we don't believe, we don't speak. Because we're believing something else. We're either believing a doubt, or we're believing a fear, or we're believing an experience where something didn't work before, or we're looking at something that says it's not possible. So how does the supernatural get released in our lives? It gets released by faith. But before we just look at that for a few moments, because this is all connected with reaching the world, what we're talking about this morning, okay? And during February, we're going to be reading through the book of Acts. What is the book of Acts? It's really the work of the Holy Spirit in the early church and how He moved in their lives and how He moved through their lives to turn the world upside down, as it talked about in some of the early chapters there. And so I don't know about you, but we want to be a church that sees the world turned upside down by the power of God at work in us and through us. Just shake the person next to you, say, look alive. But there's something else with faith that's really important. Do you know that you're anointed? You're anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. In a nutshell, what is the anointing? The anointing is God's enabling for the supernatural to happen in and through your life. What is the supernatural? Okay. The supernatural is a power or dimension that is beyond human ability. So you have this power at work in you that's beyond human ability, but also the supernatural is a phenomena not explainable by natural or physical laws. That's why this supernatural life in us always has to be expressed with faith, because it's not a natural or physical or way in which God works, because He's supernatural. So to connect the supernatural with the natural, there's got to be faith at work in us, faith working with the anointing or the enabling of the Holy Spirit in our lives to see His life and power outworked through our lives. So Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to do some things, to preach. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness those who prisoners, comfort all who are mourned. All sorts of things that are in there. Why? Because the Holy Spirit wants to release the supernatural life and power of who He is through our lives into a natural fallen world. So we live in this natural fallen world with a natural body that is getting older. We all speak over our lives. I'm sure the older we get, my youth is being renewed like the eagles. And the older you get, the more you speak that over your life. Maybe when you're 15, you're like, yeah, Dad, you know, you're old, you know, whatever. But then when you're 15 becomes 50, 55, you're like, my youth has been renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah, you know, and all of that. It becomes a daily prayer that just was a thought for the future when you were 15, 16. I'll never get old. That day will never come. And then suddenly you realize you've got a few more wrinkles. It's not as easy to get up and down the stairs as you thought it was. And running 50 yards down the road, I'll get in the car instead, you know, which is what I do. And so let's have a quick look at faith for a minute, okay? Because if faith is really important in releasing the supernatural, there's some things that God wants to release of His supernatural kingdom, life and power that is at work here. He wants to release it into the natural. So we're going to look at prayer in a minute, okay? Because God's speaking to us about a strategy of prayer and how we're to pray. What's the prayer for? The prayer is to see the world transformed. The prayer is to see your neighbor transformed, your work colleague come to know Christ. That's what the prayer is about. The prayer strategy God is giving us is not how to have a better time with Jesus. We've been doing that for a while with SOAP, scription, observation, application, scripture, observation, application, prayer. Get on your own with God. Read the Word. Let Him speak to you. Write stuff down that He's saying. Work with the Holy Spirit as He speaks into your life. Pray through what He's saying. We've been doing that for a while, cultivating relationship with Him. So the prayer strategy is not how to have a better time with Jesus. It's how to see things change out there. That's why we're going to be praying. And there's a call to prayer that God is giving. But we know we need to pray with faith. Because without faith, prayer is simply just words. When prayer is full of faith, it releases life and power. Anybody believe that? Often we don't pray because we don't believe. Well, how do I get faith in if I'm not praying? You get faith by what? What does Romans 10:17 say? Faith comes from hearing the Okay, so we need to be hearing the word into our own personal lives, not just on a Sunday morning, but we need to know what the word says, because what the word says is what God's will is. And 1 John 5:13-14 or 14 and 15 says, if we can approach God with confidence, because when we know what his will is, we know that when we pray it, he hears us, and then we know that we have what we ask of him. So God wants prayer to be confident. He wants it to be assured, and he wants it to be full of faith, because when we do that, we don't pray many words. When our prayer is full of faith, you'll notice when you have faith for something, you don't pray loads of words. You're not trying to tell God as many angles as you can to try and get him to answer your prayer, because God's not interested in many words. Jesus said that. When you pray, go into a room on your own, where it's just you and the Father. And he talks in that context, you will not be heard for your many words. So prayer isn't about how many words, it's about what God's will is. And then we speak, we declare, we command, we release, you know, what God's will is and what his word is. That's why prayer is exciting when you know what God wants. Because when you listen to God and he speaks and he says, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to show you, and he shows you something in the word, faith gets activated, faith rises up. And one of the things that faith does, it sees what God wants to do, it believes what God wants to do, and then speaks what God wants to do. So God wants to stir our faith during these days. He wants to stir your faith, my faith. He wants to stir his faith in us. So we're not trying to get faith from somewhere, but we're receiving from him so that faith rises up in us, so that what we see, what we believe, and what we speak actually happens. What we see with our spiritual eyes, as it were. Because God speaks to show you something that you're not seeing. So he lives in this supernatural kingdom because he is supernatural. We live in a natural fallen world in a natural body, but we have the one who is supernatural on the inside of us. If we're going to live by faith, that means we live according to what God says in his word about who he is, who we are, and how he wants us to be. But when he speaks about a situation, he enables us to see it differently than we see it in the natural. We're bombarded every day by the natural of life. And God doesn't, he's not there like we are in that sense. He's always looking down. But when we're flowing with him, cooperating with him, listening to him, he lifts us up to see how he sees things. Then you get his perspective, and then how you see, what you believe, and how you speak is completely different. So Hebrews 4:12, some of you will know this well, that the word of God is living and active. So faith is alive. Faith lives. Faith breathes. I love faith because it lives and breathes. It releases life. All right. So it's living and active. Faith is a verb. It's a doing word. Faith isn't something that you just have. Faith is something that is lived. Faith is something that is expressed. So if you love somebody, you express it with action. Same with faith. When you have faith, you move towards something because on the inside of you, it's done. It's dusted. God's spoken. That's it. Let's go. And there's no wondering when you've heard from God. When you know what God said, you're not like, well, shall I, shan't I, is it, isn't it, is it, what, whatever, you know. It's like there's an assurance on the inside of you. You don't have to convince yourself. You don't have to convince anybody else, because God has spoken. You've heard something. There's an assurance. There's a confidence. Something on the inside of you goes, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. Thank you, Jesus. And then what flows is thanksgiving. Not, oh me, oh my, oh me, oh what's going to happen? Lord, please would you, please would you. When you've heard from God, it's like, Jesus, thank you, that's brilliant. Well, I thank you, Father, for victory right now. I thank you for changing this situation. I thank you, Father. So I speak this into this situation. I command that. Father, I thank you for the victory right now. I thank you for breakthrough. Faith with prayer is accompanied with thanksgiving. Because you've already got the answer. Because the answer is his word. And what you're then doing is releasing that into your life, into your family, into your workplace, into your community, whatever we are looking at in terms of faith. Hebrews 11:1-3. We talked about faith is the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith sees something spiritually that we don't see naturally. That's why we're called to live by faith and not by sight. We don't live by natural sight, we live by faith. So part of the Christian walk is learning how to live with this supernatural kingdom life on the inside of us in this very natural fallen world, in a very natural body. How do we daily walk with him and his life and power? It's by faith. It's not by feelings. It's not by circumstances. It's not by yesterday how it went or how it might go. It's today, right now. Father, I want to live right now with you in your faith because you're speaking. I'm listening. And I'm saying, yes, thank you, Jesus. That's what you're saying. That's what you want to do. Whether it's a personal situation in your own life where you need to see a breakthrough, or whether it's something God's put in your heart to see happen. But if we're going to see the world transformed, it has to be initiated in prayer. Prayer's full of thanksgiving. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he stood outside the tomb and he prayed and he said, Father, I thank you that you hear me. And he said, thank you that you always hear me. Always hear me. Why? Because he was always praying in line with the Father, or speaking in line with the Father. Then Lazarus coming out was just, come forth. He didn't win. He didn't come third and win a coconut. He came forth, and he came out alive. And then they had to take all the things off him. What does faith do? Faith defies the odds of impossibility. See, that's why we need faith, because in this natural fallen world, especially at the moment, there's a lot of stuff going on that looks, wow, where's it going? Where's it all going? But yet on the inside, well, God's in charge. So I don't have to freak out and worry because God's in charge. He's not shocked about Trump. He's not freaked out about Brexit. He's not worried about what's going on in the Middle East. He's not worried about here, there and everywhere. He looks down and he's like, okay, it's all working out. And he raises up a people of faith in the midst of all of that who are sure and certain because they know their God. They're living in their lives in a place of, well, I need a victory there. So, Father, I thank you because I have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. I have your word that the Holy Spirit wants to speak into my spirit, so that something lands in there and I go, that's it. That's it. See, his word dispels fear, worry, anxiety. Why? Because when he speaks, it's life. It's spirit and life. John 6:63, your word is spirit and life to me. So when God speaks, it's like your spirit is strengthened. It's life to you right now. If you're struggling with something, it's like, God, what are you saying? What are you saying? Because it's his word that will bring light. It's his word that will bring strength into you at that moment. Even if you have to say to somebody else, look, can you pray with me? Can you help me hear from God? Can we hear God, just to help me hear something from God that takes me out from under something and enables me to come out from under that and actually stand up believing what God is saying in our lives. So, Clive, I thought this was about changing the world. It is. Because God is wanting to encourage, strengthen, build faith in us so that when we pray, something happens here in this natural fallen world. So what are we looking at then in terms of this kind of faith stuff? what's another thing that faith does? Faith works best when nothing is happening. Faith works best when nothing is happening. That's what your faith is for. If something was happening, you don't need faith because it's already happening. It's already there. So God speaks to initiate faith because the things that are not need to be spoken and seen as though they were. So what is going on in God's kingdom has already been released in heaven. It's already been released. It's already been released. There's no problem in heaven. There's nothing stuck in heaven. There's no issues up there. Everything we need for this fallen world has already been released in heaven in his kingdom, life and power. He's put his kingdom, life and power on the inside of us. And he says, brilliant. Jesus came to bring the kingdom. And now I can put my spirit on the inside of the church of believers to then see my kingdom life impact this natural fallen world in a supernatural way. And so that's why we're here. So our faith works best when nothing is happening. That's what your faith is for. If faith is living and active, faith will produce life when everything looks dead. Because your faith is alive. Your faith is alive. Your faith is alive. So we don't want to jump into somebody else's river. If I can put it that way. All these songs about flowing in the river, jumping in the river. Great. But I want to be in a flow with God that isn't somebody else's river, saying I'll just swim in his river, you know, or whatever, spiritual river, because that's easy. And I'll just go along with it. No, God, there's death around my life. People that don't know you, stuff that is going on, things that you want to do. And it's your faith that is alive on the inside of me, that where you want to bring life in this fallen world instead of death. That's what your faith is for. Your faith is to bring life where nothing is happening. Faith thrives in barren ground. That's what faith is for. Jesus came from, oh, I don't know what it would have been like, because we've never been there yet. We've all experienced the glory of God in some way or other to different degrees. And it gives you a hunger to know God more, right? But none of us have actually been with the Father like Jesus was since, there was no beginning of time, since you know, whenever, I mean, God's always been, hasn't he? Our mind can't cope with that. And Jesus came out of that into a fallen world. The smell of sin in his nostrils, he must have smelt sin. You know what I mean? I don't know what it was like coming from that to this. He came to barren, dry ground where nothing was happening. It was full of religious leaders who were condemning people, getting them into law and bondage and all that kind of stuff. And he came to bring life, and life in all its fullness, abundance. So he came and brought life, and he came into the barrenness of human nature, humankind. And the cross was life for mankind. When he hung there on the cross, that was the moment where life was kind of released for the rest of humanity, where the power of sin and death and hell were defeated and overcome. And when he cried, "It is finished," that was the moment that it was like the barrenness struck the ground, and forever the power of that was broken. And Jesus opened up the way. When he rose from the dead, why? Because death couldn't hold him. He defeated it already. And he rose from the dead. And that same life is at work today, right now, in you and I. And that same life is at work by the power of the Holy Spirit. So God couldn't wait for the day of Pentecost. When those believers were in that room, he was like, I can't wait to that day when it wasn't just about Jesus coming and going on the cross and rising from the dead. He was like, I can't wait for that day that all of who I am can be released into all of who they are in a room just praying and getting stuff right. The Holy Spirit came with fire, wind, empowered them. Then it all just started to happen. Yeah. What else does faith do? One last thing. What's the time? 11:05. That's not too bad, is it? What else does faith do? Faith takes over. Faith takes over. Just turn to the person next to you and say, at least look excited. Acts 5, verses 27 and 28. The early believers, some of the apostles, were accused by the religious leaders. You have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. You have turned the place upside down. Exactly. That's why we're here. God turns your life the right way up when you got saved. Before that, you were upside down. So God's actually turned you the right way up. Now this is what life's all about. This is why I'm here. You're here to know God. You're here for his purposes. You're here to love him with everything you've got, because he didn't withhold anything from us. He didn't withhold anything from us. Jesus, hours and hours and hours in Gethsemane, prayed, sweated blood to get to that point of total surrender and submission to the Father, to go through the cross for you and I. He said, I can't withhold anything from you. That's his heart for us. Unfailing love. So faith takes over. So put it all in context then. What's this got to do with the world? starts with prayer. If we don't pray, we won't see things happen. We've all got different giftings and abilities in different ways. And of course we have the Holy Spirit at work in us. And we can say, well, you know, I've got the Holy Spirit. If I listen to him and do what he says, I'm going to see it happen. Yeah. But without prayer, we won't see the breakthroughs that God wants, the lasting fruit that he has appointed for each one of us personally to see, but also together as a church. What is prayer? Basically, prayer is saying, God, my trust and faith is in you. It's not in myself or my abilities. My faith and trust is in you. Prayer is a spiritual activity. Being a believer is a spiritual activity that has got to be expressed in a natural world. But prayer is a spiritual activity. Therefore, prayer has to be in with faith. Because faith unlocks and releases the supernatural. So God has been speaking to us about prayer, about possessing the land. We spoke about that on the vision night, possessing the land and how the Israelites were on the edge of the promised land and they didn't go in because of unbelief, even though a couple of the guys were like, come on, we can go. God has said it. We can take it. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. They didn't go in. They didn't take what they were right on the edge of after 10 days of being out of Egypt. 10 days. And then they walked around for 40 years. I don't know about you, but I don't want to walk around for 40 years still hoping for the same thing that I did 40 years before, right? So, if we can put it this way, you're always on the edge of your breakthrough. Always. The difference between having a breakthrough and walking around for a whole period of time is, do you believe? Do you believe? That is it. Do you believe? Do you believe? You're on an edge of a breakthrough at any moment for something, somebody else, or whatever situation. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? Where do you get faith from? Him speaking. Do we believe? Do we believe? Because faith is more than a prayer meeting. You can pray something in a prayer meeting, you walk out of the room and you start chatting to your friends and what comes out of your mouth is what you really believe. You can say the right thing in a prayer meeting, but do you believe it? Well, I'm in a prayer meeting. Now, right, this is what I do in a prayer meeting. I get hold of the word and I speak that and declare it. La, 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 la. You walk out the prayer meeting and you know, oh, you know, my life is, oh, I don't know. It's like, oh, you know, and you're like, what happened a minute ago in there? When you were praying, now you're out of there. It's all everything else. So, you know, faith is faith, whether you're in a prayer meeting or not. And so God wants to show us stuff about our community, our town, our region, our nation, as we have a responsibility to pray. We're going to pray in a minute as it's Memorial Day for the Holocaust. So we're going to pray into that in a moment. But God's been speaking to us about gates, spiritual gates, about possessing the land. Some of those are geographical entrance points into the town. Some of those are locational, where things happen in the town. Stuff's happened, negative things, that is, that go on or have happened. And when certain things happen, it opens up a gate for other people to then do the same thing. Various people have jumped off the car park, one of the car parks in town, to take their own lives. And it opens up a gate. You know, and other people go, I'm going to go and do the same thing. And the enemy uses that. And we're here to shut those gates and to keep them shut so stuff like that doesn't go on in our town or around our region or wherever. And so there are locational gates. There are things like business gate. There's a lot of business that goes on in a town. And some of the wealth in a town is created through business and work and all of that kind of thing. And so therefore there's a business gate. And we want to be praying into the thing so that the right business grows and develops in Horsham. Or wherever the towns we are. But, around our town, so that the right stuff happens. and way, the way things are developed in our town or where we live happens in the right way and not with man's agenda and this, that, and the other. So we want to pray into like a business gate. We want guys, women, men in the church who have businesses to prosper, to be kingdom business, to do well, to go against sometimes the trend where things are struggling. In those moments, they're still doing well because they're kingdom-based, not naturally-based. Then we have things like education gates, schools and things like that, the way our kids are educated and that. You know, there's a bigger prayer than just, I think to say, to pray a prayer about, we're going to pray for that headmaster that he changes the curriculum in the school. They can't do that. They have a national curriculum. So what we want to do is pray at another level for our education system to change or whoever's pulls the strings for stuff to happen at that level and then it flows down. We want to pray for Christian teachers to come in because they can change the feel and the ethos and all of that in that context. But to kind of pray for a school and say, right, we command that headmaster to change the curriculum in that school. We tear that thing down in the name of Jesus. He doesn't have the power to change the curriculum. So we've got to pray in line with the word and how God wants us to pray. So how does that change then? Well, it's not going to change by praying for the headmaster. And we don't pray these things either. Okay, the headmaster's not saved, so we just come on to get out of that role and be replaced with a Christian. We don't pray like that either. We're not against people. When we pray, we are not against people. It's a spiritual thing that goes on. And we have an authority as believers and as Christians and as a church together to take authority over things, to bind, to loose. That means to prevent and to break off. And then we in the prayer of agreement, we then agree and see the purposes of God released through our prayer and how God shows us to pray. So as we said the other week, there's God, there's us, and there's the situation. And often we tell God what to do. God do this, God do that, God do the other. And he's like, that's not what I want to do. You know, I'm not, you know, God doesn't seem to be answering my prayer. And it's like, well, have you asked him what he wants you to pray? Well, no, you know. So ask him. God speaks. He says something really simple. And you go, oh, right. Yeah, okay. Faith rises up. And instead of going, God do this, God do that, like we're commanding God to do something. You know, I don't know. What he says is, no, you can command my purposes to be done and be released. Not me, you know, God, do this, do as you're told, you know. It's no, God's like, no, this is what I want to do. Now you pray it, you speak it, you declare it, you release it, you bind it. You then, you know, it's like you've got authority on earth. Come on, guys, come on, guys, come on, guys. And so it's us rising up, believing that what God wants to do is going to happen. So there's gates in those the kind of things. So we also, as God's been taught us about, the impact prayer meetings, the monthly prayer meetings. They're always going to be, this year, the first Wednesday of every month to coincide with the first 7 days of every month where we're praying those first 7 days with some fasting. And this, the beginning of February, is all encompassed into our 36 days. But the first impact prayer is this Wednesday. And we're going to be praying in, you know, not into the prayer strategy. We're not praying for that. We're praying for our town and various things, but in line with what God's been speaking about, praying in the gates, guarding the gates, standing in the gates. And the 24/7 prayer is about praying continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we want to go on the website. Put whatever hour you're praying. You can do once in the week, once a day, as many times as you want. It doesn't matter. You can pray at the same time as other people. It doesn't matter. If there is a gap free, then stick your name in there instead necessarily of stacking up with loads of people. Because we want it to be like a baton of prayer from one person to the next. So somebody might be up at 6 till 7 in the morning praying. Whoever's 7 till 8, right, I'm picking up the baton from that person now. And I'm praying the purposes of God into whatever he's showing us to pray into. Which is primarily along the lines of seeing people saved and born again. Praying into our town, praying into our friends, neighbours, family, community, that kind of stuff. And it's as you pray, what happens when you pray is you get God's heart. God speaks while you're praying and faith does get activated. But God doesn't just want us to pray with our own minds, our own thinking, and all the things we think we pray. Honestly, guys, our many words don't accomplish anything in prayer. You can stand there and pray for 5 minutes and go on and on and on and on and on, all the different things that come into your head. Most of when you listen to people pray like that, most of what they're doing is a conversation with God. That doesn't do anything. It's like we're telling God, like, you know, this, that and the other. And he's like, I know that. If you take 30 seconds and have a quick listen, let me speak to you, your prayer will be different. You won't go round the houses trying to think of every little thing you can pray for into that. You'll just take that one thing that I've shown you that I want to do in that situation. And you share that with the other people you're praying with. And everybody goes, yep, that's what God wants to do. Come on, let's speak that now. So you then, in agreement, say, in the name of Jesus, we declare that into this situation. We command this thing to move. We release this into that situation, whatever it is. And there's a sense of God's doing it. God's doing it. Something's happening. Maybe a 15-minute prayer time would be more effective praying like that than 45 minutes just praying loads of words. We think if we're going to be effective, we have to pray more. No, it's just praying God's will. What does he want? And you release that. You activate that and stuff begins to happen. So I want to encourage you. Wednesday nights, impact. If you can be here, be here. Because we're going to be praying into things very specifically. Specific prayers get specific answers. So that we're not going to have a long, long time of worship on Wednesday. It'll be quite short, and then boom, we're going to get into praying. And different people are going to be leading different parts of that. But it's all in line with what God's been speaking. People have got anointing to lead prayer. God have been part of praying and hearing and getting all the prayer strategy sorted. All that kind of stuff. And we're doing this across all three congregations in the same kind of way. It might look a bit different depending on what's going on in the different towns in terms of what how we pray into things. But we want to be in line with what God is saying how to pray. There'll be other times where we're going out praying around the town, in the gates, different times. Maybe you, if you've got a heart to really pray, and you're like, that's my passion, that's my heart. We heard last week there's a number of small groups that are like prayer focused. We get into a prayer small group then, because the prayer small groups are going to line up with the strategy of what God's saying. If that's your thing, I just want to pray, get into a small group that prays. And you might be out there more than others, you know, but as a church, let's respond to what God is saying. The sign-up thing, just go to the website on the homepage. There's a little thing on the right there, on the right-hand side. Just click on it and it'll take you there. Just whack your name in or whatever. And it just helps us to see what's going on and in terms of, you know, the flow of prayer and all that. If you get some stuff while you're praying, email it in. God gave me this verse. God gave me this vision. This is what I saw. This is what the impression I had. Whatever it is, just, you know, because we want to hear what is God saying? What are people praying? What's going on out there? We've done one or two prayer walks and impact during last year. And people who came on those were like, man, when I walked around, I didn't realise there were parts of the town. I've never been around there, never knew there were houses there, didn't realise how many houses, didn't realise how densely populated that was, didn't realise there's quite a few needs and all of that to the degree there were. And when people walked past certain places, God spoke to them about that house, about this, that, the other. And what it left people with was, wow, God's heart. God wants to reach every one of these people. It's not just neighbourhoods. There's real people behind those front doors, behind those curtains and whatever. And it's God does something. Sometimes I think, well, why can't we just stay in a building and just do it all in a building? You know, if you need more compassion in your life, don't pray about it. Put yourself in front of somebody that needs some compassion. That is the best way to get compassion. To just stand there and go, Father, would you just release your compassion? I thank you for your compassion. God, I want your compassion, all of that. When you pray, God will download his heart and you'll pray with his heart. But if you want a greater compassion, the best way is to go and serve somebody. Go and love somebody. Go and do something that's out of your comfort zone. So it's like, God, and you'll come out of there going, God, I need something more than I had then. Because God won't necessarily just go, boom, there's all the compassion you need. And you're like, whoa, that was amazing. I think sometimes we're like, God, I'd like that. But I'd like it is different than I want it. I'd like is when I get round to it, I want is I'm going to go and get it. Loads of people say, I want to be like this in my Christian life. No, what you really mean is I'd like to be that, but I can't be bothered to get there. If we're honest, right? If you really want something, you go after it, don't you? Yes, no. You go after it. Why? Because you want it. And then you make time for it, space for it. You set the money aside. Why? Because I want it. If you just like it, it's just in your mind. Oh, I'd like it. That'd be nice. And I think when God faces us with stuff, he's like, okay, you want more compassion, you want a greater release of love. Right, okay, what I'm going to do then is put you in situations where you're going to need to have more compassion. You're going to need to have my love to express. And that's when God works in our hearts in that way. And you get annoyed and wound up with people and you get agitated and that annoys me. But then you have to say, why am I annoyed? And God will just say, because you need a greater release of love. Because love is merciful, gracious, compassionate, kind, gentle, forgiving, goes the extra mile, doesn't criticise, doesn't judge, doesn't condemn. That's why you need a greater release of what you already have. But there's a few attitudes. Just, you know, and then there'll be a greater release. And, oh, right, that's how it works. Yeah. It's not all just on your face before God and he'll do a total number on you and you get up hovering off the ground like you're living in the Twilight Zone as the person that's got the most love in the world and suddenly you're like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, I love you, brother. I love you, man. I love you. You know, most of what God does, he'll encounter you, meet with you, reveal who he is and you're like, God, I want to walk with you. I want to serve you. So God does a number on you and in that moment you're then faced with stuff but because you've met with him, you're like, God, do it, do it, do it. That's challenging. That is so challenging. Man, this person winds me up. But God, thank you that you work in my heart right now. Because unless you face it, when you're here, when you're before God, you're like, God, I'll do anything, 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 anything. And he goes, brilliant, brilliant. Right, come on then. And then you go there and you start, and I'm like, yeah, but I didn't mean that. You know? But it's like, and God's like, yeah, but you said anything over there. When you met with me and my weightiness was on you and you're in awe of who I am, you said, God, anything. And now the first thing that comes along, you're like, no, I'm not doing that. There's got to be a connection between there and there. Kingdom life, the spiritual dynamic of our lives, there's got to be a reality connection into here. And that's what God's doing amongst us. Let's all stand. I think you've had enough. I think I've had enough too. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for what you're doing amongst us. Father, I thank you. It's serious, but it's not heavy. Your purposes are serious. They're weighty, but they're not heavy. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Just thank him for what he's doing in you during these 36 days at the beginning of this year. Just thank him. Thank him. Just talk to the Holy Spirit now. Just tell the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you, Holy Spirit. I don't want to live in my own strength and power. I don't want to live in my own efforts. I need you, Holy Spirit. That few weeks ago when we were flowing that morning, some of it was about surrender. And one of the phrases we used was, this is a year of everything. God, you have my everything. You've bought me with a price. I'm yours. Everything is yours. So would you lead me, consume me, everything, everything. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just say to the Lord, talk to him for a moment, where you've prayed so many things in so many words and not seen anything happen. And you got frustrated, annoyed, fed up, or you've stopped in that process, right on the edge of your breakthrough, and you got frustrated, maybe even annoyed with God sometimes. Or where is it? And you've spoken negatively about, not necessarily about the Lord, but about this or that. Just bring all that before him right now. God, I don't want to be somebody who just prays with many words of my own. I need to be somebody who prays with faith, in line with your will, to see your purposes outworked on earth as they have already been released in heaven. There's a call from God to us as a church at the moment to pray. There's two parts to that. One is personally giving ourselves to the Lord. We've set aside 36 days. We've got 9 left. Maximize the next 9 days. Make space in your own personal life with God. Miss one meal at least a day. Just miss a meal and spend that time with Him instead. Get into that secret place with Him. Use the time well. Invest in your relationship with God. The second part to prayer is God's calling us to pray as a church, prayer strategy. Praying on a Wednesday once a month, first Wednesday. Praying 24/7 this week. Starts, I think, Wednesday's the 1st and the 1st of Feb for the next 7 days after that. If I'm honest with myself, often I don't pray because I don't actually believe something's going to happen, therefore I don't pray. Be honest with yourself, if that's partly why you don't. I know we can all say, oh, well, I didn't get round to it, but partly is why? Because we don't actually believe anything's going to happen. That's why. If we believed, we would be like, wow, prayer is powerful. There's no way I'm not going to pray, because when I pray, stuff happens. And so if you know that's where you've been, just say, God, would you forgive me? I ask you to forgive me for my unbelief that when I pray, nothing's going to happen. Or that you're not going to answer me. You might answer somebody else, but just ask Him to forgive you for unbelief. Now ask the Holy Spirit, don't dwell on it. Just say, God, forgive me for my unbelief. I don't want to stay there. I want to move forward and begin to trust You, believe You, and respond to You and pray with faith in Your name to see things shift and things change and things move. One way of doing that is to actually give yourself to what God's saying to us as a church. Pray at least 1 hour in those 7 days. Put your name down somewhere and say, right, I'm going to pray. Maybe stick your name down a few times. I'm going to pray. Joining, praying in the gates, praying in different ways. I'm going to impact. I'm going to be there because God, I want You to do something in my life where I come into a new place of faith that when I pray, stuff happens, things happen. I want to join with the church, with the body, because there's things You want to do in Horsham, in Burgess Hill, in villages around the area where we live, places where we are. You want to do stuff, Father, where we live. You want to change things, change the atmosphere. What is allowed to go on and what isn't. You want to change all those things in our town. You've called us to, in the right way, to take over spiritually so that we're determining, we're guardians of the gates of our towns and our communities and where we are. That's the authority God has given. Father, we thank You. We thank You. You can pray and say, God, would You give me a spirit of prayer? The way the spirit of prayer comes on your life is to pray. As you pray, God will increase something. As you pray, God will release more. As you pray, something will happen. That's how faith works. As you move with it, God does something. God speaks, we respond, He works. He speaks, we respond, He works. As you give yourself to Him, He'll give Himself to you. There'll be an increase. You might think, I'm rubbish at praying. The guy who started 24/7 prayer, you know that global movement? When God first spoke to him about just initially praying 24/7 in his church, nowhere else is his church, he said, God, I don't even know how to pray. I'm the wrong person. I'm not a person of prayer. And God said, exactly. Because I want to start using somebody that you've got no idea about prayer. You don't think you're a person of prayer. You don't think you're anointed. You're not an intercessor, all that kind of stuff. Exactly. I want to show everybody that everyday believers can become people of prayer. And now it's a global movement, 24/7 prayer all over the world that goes on. Thank You, Jesus. Can we have the band up? All right. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Just talk to the Holy Spirit now. Holy Spirit, I need You. I need You. I want to be full of You. How do you stay full of the Holy Spirit? And how do you live in a place where the Holy Spirit is overflowing from your life? You listen, you respond, you do what he says. You listen, you respond, you do what he says. You listen, you respond, you do what he says. It's that simple. As you do that, you'll stay full. You'll stay flowing. You'll live in an overflow. You'll live in a bunch. Why? Because you're listening, you're believing, you're responding, and there's a flow of life. And you won't keep running dry. You know when people say, oh, I've been working so hard for the Lord, I've completely run dry. It doesn't work like that. You might be exhausted naturally, but you are overflowing with the Spirit, because when you work with him, he's not going to let you run dry. Oh, that's a shame. Clive's run dry. He's been working so hard for me. I better go and fill him up. No, he's like, as he's been flowing, you know, because you get more full, or if you can be more full, you're more, you know, or whatever. That's how you stay full of the Holy Spirit. Listen, believe, respond, and he'll keep filling you. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. We thank you. Just thank him for what he's doing in your life. I know it's been quite a long message this morning and everything, but hopefully God's been speaking into your life about you personally. You can rise up in your own personal life. Together we rise up in faith as a body of people. Because what we've been talking about this morning, yes, it's for us, but actually it's more for the world out there that needs a people who believe, a people who will pray first of all. Of course, we've got to go and witness. That will come in the next few weeks and all of that. But today's about praying, breaking things open in the Spirit, tearing some things down that shouldn't be happening, releasing things that God wants to do. It's ruling and reigning as the church. It's about ruling and reigning as the church. That's what it's about. So the enemy's not running riot in people's lives. Instead, we're cutting him off left, right, and center. And the things of God are released. That's part of who the church is called to be. Light, salt, city on a hill. People to break through. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. Just as we're drawing to a close this morning, just get your finances ready. Let's give to the Lord. Let's honor him with our finances. Whether you're tithing today, end of the month, a lot of people get paid. You might be tithing today. You might have already done it bank to bank or whatever. Some of you I know like to give personally, put it in a check or whatever way you do it. But if you got your tithes and then any offerings you want to give, let's just give to him this morning, just as we worship for a few moments. This is our lives. As we tithe, we're saying, Father, this is yours. This belongs to you. Thank you that you've allowed me to steward this. But the tithe is his anyway. That's his. Just give that back to him. But anything else you might put in on top, it's like, God, this is yours anyway. I want to just offer it back to you. I want to offer whatever back to you today. Why? Because I love you. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. And I just thank you for the way you bless me in my life and everything that's happening at this moment. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. If you want to just pass the buckets round. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. Just exalt him right now over your marriage. If you're married, over your family, if you've got kids. Just exalt him over your workplace. Just maybe lift your hands. Just exalt him. Speak these things over your family. Father, I thank you for a blessed marriage. Father, I thank you for a healthy marriage. Father, I thank you for a deeper, stronger relationship with my wife or my husband. I thank you for my kids. I speak your goodness, your blessing, your abundance over their lives. Father, I thank you for your safety and protection around my household, over my friendships and relationships. Father, I thank you for healthy friendships, greater openness in our friendships, deeper knowing of one another. Father, I thank you. I speak your goodness over my friends, over friendships right now. Thank you for my workplace. I just speak your goodness over my workplace. I speak life into that place right now. Father, I thank you. You've anointed me by your Spirit. You've enabled me to be there, to be a witness, to show people the way to you, to be a great employee or a great boss or whatever it means in your situation. Father, I just speak your goodness into my workplace, into my business. Father, I thank you. I praise your name for your favor in that place. I pray for my neighbors left and right. Whoever they are, my street, I just speak your salvation over their lives. Just declare that now over your neighbors. I speak salvation to my neighbors, to my street. Father, I thank you. You've called us to be a beacon of light in our streets and where we live, to shine your life and your goodness to others, that they may see who you are, Father, through our lives. We praise your name. We thank you for salvation. Salvation, salvation going into our streets and into our neighbors' lives, into their homes. Father, we thank you for opportunities to share our faith, our stories about who you are, to even pray for them, Father, to see them healed or to lead them to you. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. We praise your name. Let's just take a moment. 11 million people were murdered over 70 years ago. 6 million Jews and 5 million others. Let's just take a moment. Jane and I, in the week, we'd been invited to the Foreign Office up in London to a Holocaust Memorial event. It was amazing, amazing. The presence of God at one moment was, in that environment, it wasn't a Christian thing, obviously. There were various dignitaries, MPs, all sorts of people. We were a bit like, how on earth did we get an invite into this? There wasn't really anybody we knew there apart from one or two people. We were like, how do we get here? And God spoke to Jane a couple of years ago while she was in Auschwitz and praying there. God spoke to us some things about our nation in regards to Israel, how he's given us a crown and we need to wear it with humility in regards to Israel and God's purposes. And the night before we went up, God spoke to Jane and said, you need to write this stuff on a couple of cards that she had. And there was a particular MP there. I won't say who he is, but there was a particular MP that we knew that was going to be there. And we were like, man, we need to have a conversation with him so that we can give him these cards so that he can put them in the hands of Theresa May and Boris Johnson. And we didn't know what the event was going to be like. We didn't know if we were going to be able to talk to him. And before the event started, there was obviously a refreshments time before with, you know, some food and drinks and everybody was mingling. The room was packed. And as we were just talking with two or three people, this MP happened to walk right across all the crowd through all these people. And he ended up standing right next to me, making himself a cup of tea. And me and Jane were looking at each other and it was a bit like, you know, And so she kind of pulled herself out of the conversation and had a conversation with this guy and said, look, whatever she said to him. And he said, I will make sure that these get into the hands of those two people. And if that's the only reason we were there, for no other reason, if that is it, fine, we're happy with that. But we prayed that, you know, God would use that, the things written down that he'd spoken 2 years ago. And it was 2 years ago to the week she was in Auschwitz. And then we were in this Holocaust Memorial event in London. It was like, wow, 2 years to the week. And then these things are going to go into the hands of the Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister. And we prayed, God, would you get them into their hands? That they won't get sidetracked or left somewhere or whatever, but they'll get right into their hands. Let's just take a moment. Father, we thank you that out of the ashes of what we name and talk about as being the Holocaust, where ultimately the devil was out to annihilate the Jewish people and anybody else along the way, he didn't care. We thank you that out of the ashes came the nation 3 years later, absolute miracle. And so, Father, we remember right now the catastrophe, the disaster, and partly we remember because it can never, ever happen again. Father, you do miracles, and we thank you that out of that, what looked like a total catastrophe, a nation was born 3 years later. And Father, we just pray for our nation. We pray for Theresa May, who is your person in that position right now. We just pray that as a government, they would read that, they would see that card, or she would, and the crown that you've given us as a nation to serve your purposes in regards to Israel would be worn with humility. that we wouldn't strut around thinking we can just tell a nation to do whatever we think. But we would wear that crown with humility as a nation. Father, we ask you to have mercy on us, a nation where we have not treated Israel in the way that you've wanted us to. Father, we want to bless. We bless the nation of Israel. We bless the Jewish people. We bless your purposes. We pray for the peace, for the salvation of Jerusalem, for the salvation of Israel, the Jewish people. But we pray for the salvation of all the people that are there. Because your heart is not just for one person. Your heart is that all men would be saved. Because you died once and for all. So, Father, we thank you for your saving purposes in that nation. Father, we thank you for the relationships that you're developing with the Israeli embassy, with us and others who work in and around there, and other the Jewish community. Father, we thank you for just continued relationship and favor there. And however you want to lead that, whatever that's going to look like, we're just going with it, Father, to see how you unfold it so that we can be a blessing to those people. We can be a blessing to the nation of Israel. As we give financially into those nations, thank you. You say those you bless those who bless Israel. We're not doing it to be blessed. We're doing it because we want to be a blessing. And we want to just respond to what your word says. So, Father, we thank you. We just pray today for families, survivors that are still alive, although there aren't many now. We thank you for them. We thank you that somehow they would come to know you in a very real and life-changing way. Families relate to the Holocaust, that around these days would be a significant time as family. We just speak your blessing, your abundance over their life, your saving grace. You'd be revealed into their lives, Jesus. We thank you, Father. We praise your name. You're awesome, you're mighty, you're wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Let's thank the Lord, shall we, for what he's doing in our lives today. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.